Today's program has been brought to you by Tri-State Merchants, specializing in credit, debit, and check processing solutions for a wide spectrum of merchants. For more information, visit tmsmerchant.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Flash Talks Cash, the show about money, making it, spending it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm the co-host, Andrew Newman, with the host, I guess, Joanne, my mother, Fleming. You like how I did that right there?
Yeah, but you dropped my Flash name.
I don't call you Flash.
Okay, but everybody else in the world calls me.
No, most people don't anymore. Hmm. You're out the game.
Oh, I dropped.
You're out the game.
My flame has
We're
burned
here.
Out.
We broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. If you cannot listen live, you can download a podcast on the website or on iTunes. Our engineer today is Joey the Man Galarraga.
I like that nickname.
I know you do. And I'm happy to see him this week with his blonde hair. I'm glad I made it to the station.
Isn't it nice?
It's a phenomenal haircut. The coloring is fantastic.
Thank you.
Look really good, Joe.
Joe, are you going to keep it? Are you going to go with it?
I think I am, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting new look, and I don't see any roots, so you must be doing your roots. Doing a good job there.
I did it last night, yeah.
See, I noticed. No roots.
All right.
Good
anyway,
job.
Joe and I had a man hug when I came in. He missed me, apparently. If you have any questions or concerns or want to talk to us and yell at us, the number is
718-497-2128.
Or you can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org, and Joe will read the email over the air, and we'd be happy to hear from you. And
one other thing, don't forget, both Heritage Radio Network and Flash Talks Cash, you can follow us on on Facebook or Twitter.
Great.
So everybody's there.
That's really good. What was the last tweet you made?
I haven't made a tweet.
Exactly. So good thing. Please follow us on Twitter so you can see nothing. Why would you advertise that if you're not?
Well, Heritage Radio Network.
Well, Heritage. Why don't you just say Heritage Radio?
No, I have a tweet. I have a
tweet. Yeah, but you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything about it.
She's gonna tweet. She's going to tweet.
Who's she?
She being Flash.
You're talking in the third person now.
She's going to...
We're doing third person. We're going to do third person the whole show?
She's going to tweet.
Please do. Andrew likes when Joanne talks about herself.
See what happened? I let Drew
Holy
open
crap.
Up the show today.
I opened it fine. You're entering
you
the weird stuff.
You did a fine job.
You're doing the weird stuff.
And the name of the show today is just Flash is Talking Cash. Various topics today. The first thing we're going to open up with is the Olympics. Quite exciting. Are you following the Olympics? You're following all the medals?
No, I stopped.
Oh, I love it. How about you, Joey G? You doing it? The Olympics?
Sort of, a little bit. Okay. I watched some of the beach volleyball. I like that.
Yeah, you like those girls in those bathing suits, yeah. Don't you?
I don't know. That was one thing. Is why are they playing in bikinis? I mean, I'm not...
It's 60 degrees, Joe.
It's 60 degrees, yeah. I mean, it's fun to watch.
Yes.
It really is. It's a good game. It's a good game.
They're really good at it.
Some of them wear the tights.
It's a simple but good game.
Yeah.
Some of them wear the tights.
How do you like the beach volleyball with the two women versus a regular volleyball team with, what, about seven people? After watching the beach volleyball, watching the six guys on one team is like, well, that's not even that hard to do.
Well, it's different. The game's a lot faster with six people.
I know, it's different.
Right. That's kind of what I liked about it. I like the beach volleyball because you can see them like setting it up. You can see the strategy.
Yeah. It's interesting. Oh, I like it.
In the bikinis.
In the regular, yeah.
So the girls, so the American girls, the old timers, they won the medals last night.
Both
the gold
of them
medal.
Are actually pretty old.
Yeah, 34 and 35. So I'm going to do a little bit about what's up with the medals. Are they really gold? What do you think?
Well, a portion of it is,
the
yes.
gold medals are only a very small portion of a gold. I think there's like 6 grams of gold in a gold medal. Both gold and silver medals are 92.5% silver. And, their worth in today's market, a gold medal, the value of the medal is $650. The value of a silver medal is $330. And bronze, you know what bronze is? It's an alloy, copper and usually tin. So that has very little value. It's worth about $3 in metal. So those medals don't really have that market value. But however, they have some other values, right? First of all, there's 2,300 medals that are going to be awarded this year in the Olympics. That's a lot of medals. And if they were to produce a gold medal, truly gold medal, could you give me an idea of how much you think it would cost?
To produce it?
Today. Using today's
full gold.
A real gold
medal. How heavy is the metal?
The metal is, it has to be 3 millimeters thick and 60 millimeters in diameter. No, you've seen the size of a gold medal.
I know, I have.
So take a gander how much you think a solid gold medal would cost.
3 millimeters and 6 millimeters?
6 millimeters wide, right.
Wide, so it's a circle, so it's, yeah. It doesn't
60
matter.
Millimeters wide.
60.
Yes, 60. I don't know about millimeters. Anyway, it would cost...
That seems like a lot, because this is a centimeter, $40 million
if you were to make a gold medal today. That's all
right.
And the last time they had a gold medal was 1896.
That's
No. 1904, something like that.
So it's the second Olympic game. Oh, no, the third
Olympic
Games.
The first, so...
1896 was the first Olympics game.
Yes,
Olympic
right.
Games.
And that, they didn't give... They all gave silver medals. There were no gold medals in that one. The gold medals came along later. 1904 Olympics. And after 1912, the Olympic gold medals have been gilded silver rather than real gold. So since 1912, there's not been a gold medal. Now, there are a couple of medals out there that are still solid gold, such as the Congressional Gold Medal.
That's fantastic.
And the Nobel Prize Medal.
Well, when you're giving out $1 million, it's not like difficult to
put
a few hundred bucks at a gold medal.
But the medals must be pretty small, because an Olympic gold medal will cost $40 million. So those medals must be mighty small.
Well, it's a big medal.
Yeah, it's a big medal, right. Why do they bite them? Why do you think they're always biting them?
Well,
you know, it's kind of goofy.
It used to be because metal is very... soft, so you can bite it.
Yeah.
Well, gold is, at least, and that's how you tell if it's real gold compared to fake gold.
But now it's fake, so it's a silly thing. It's all a silly thing. And so what happens to these medals after many, many years? What happens to these medals? Well, some people have
to... Gold plating falls off?
No, some people sell them. There's a market out there for old medals or past winners' Olympic medals. And it's usually pretty sad, I got to say.
Well, it's like when football players sell their Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, right. So there are a few instances where you can go on eBay and you can find a 1976 Montreal silver medal in canoeing, and it's worth $2,800 on eBay.
Why would you even pay that much?
I guess to say you have an Olympic medal.
Yeah, but...
And then there's another one.
Why don't you just get a replica made?
I don't know. This is because it's a real deal.
How do you know it's a real deal?
Because it says so. It must have some authenticity to it. So what happens to these athletes after they win the gold medals? Gold medal winners are the only ones who really make any money after the silver and the bronze medal. Well, the countries, you'd be surprised. I'm going to tell you something. I bet you didn't know this. Their countries pay them for winning
medals. It's like a bonus.
So listen to what happened. British athletes winning gold can expect to earn seven figures, but they're not going to pay them. They're going to say, you know, it's really good that you went out and did it. You get glory, and you get face on your stamp, but you're not going to get cash. However...
Wait, you just said they get seven figures, but they don't get seven
figures. But no, they're going to make seven figures in their earnings through other things, but then the government's not going to pay them. However, if you go to Singapore and you're an athlete and you win, bring home a gold medal, they're going to give you 1 million Singapore dollars, which is about $800,000, because Singapore has never won a gold medal. So if anybody's listening out there who's a really good athlete and needs to just win a lot of money...
But if you're that good as an athlete, you're getting paid anyway somewhere else, so you don't have to worry about going there to make money.
Going to Singapore might be key for some people. The United States will pay about $25,000 to their gold medalists. Australians will pay their medalists $20,900 and get their face on a stamp, an Australian stamp, and get a flight upgrade going home.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something?
That's balling. Well, I guess it's an upgrade. If that could be like... Those flights are like $6,000, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. From London to Australia. Well, it's half to America. It's halfway to America. So Russia promised its athletes $135,000 for golds. And Italy has offered $182,000 for a gold medal.
Where's Italy getting that money?
Yeah, I was wondering exactly the same thing. They're in such a fiscal crisis, but they have money in the budget for their gold medalists. So, and China, although they haven't officially made an announcement, they said their gold winners will likely get about $51,000. They got a lot of players. They got a lot of gold medals.
Yeah.
I think they have the most so far.
They do.
Are they still cheating?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
They like bring
have you
like,
seen those gymnasts? I love how they have like, I guess it's like America. When you have a billion people, you have a large group of people to choose from. Like the swimmers are really tall and the gymnasts are really small.
Well, they have a billion people. They got them in all shapes and sizes.
That's what I was saying.
That's interesting.
But they're what, four times the size of us?
And they devote a lot of energy and money into their Olympic programs.
Yeah, it's like East Germany and Russia were back in the day.
Right. Okay, and India has promised coaching jobs to any athletes who win medals. That's not a big deal, right? India, I'm surprised.
What's a job?
Well, and so... So then, you know, like I said, some of them have sold
The thing about it, it's a job. How much do you make at a job? 20 grand a year maybe in India? 30 grand a year?
It depends on what you're doing, I guess.
Exactly. But still, like, if you can keep the job afterwards, it's pretty impressive.
So besides winning all those endorsements as a gold medalist, now you know the new gold medalists for the gymnastics and the swim team, those are the very popular sports. They make a lot of money in endorsements. So it really is a good... a great reward when you win a gold medal financially and, of course, emotionally, psychologically, and physically, and all those great things. So that's the story. So let's keep track of how much money this is going to generate for all these medalists, because there's a big budget out there. There's going to be a lot of gold medalists walking around with a lot of money in their bank. Maybe they'll call you and me for some advice, Andrew, or tune in, listen.
Yeah.
What to do with their newfound wealth.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Michael Phelps to call.
Michael Phelps. I wonder how much money he has made in three Olympics.
A lot.
Man, he must be a millionaire by now, huh? Mega millionaire?
Yeah.
You never read about him. It's interesting. So now, what about this? Now we're going to switch gear now, literally. And we're going to go from the Olympics. We're going to say, driving your car. Who's driving? What kind of car? What are the 10 top cars that the richest Americans drive?
The richest Americans
Americans drive. What are the 10 top cars? And I'm going to give you a hint. You're surprised that most of them are cheap. All right, we'll go through the list. You ready?
Go.
Okay. Eight of the top 10 cars cost less than $40,000.
Okay.
So
what are they?
So they're...
Toyota Corolla.
No, not Corollas. They're not. They don't drive around the economy cars, but they drive around cheap cars. A Toyota Camry, which has a cost of about $24,000. No, it's a little nicer than a Corolla.
Is it?
Yes. A Honda Accord, $23,000. A Honda CR-V, which is what I drive.
Of course, because you're rich.
A $30,000 car.
We know you're rich.
A Volkswagen Jetta, $25,000. A Toyota Prius is almost $30,000. A Lexus RX. This is probably one of the low ends of the models, of the Lexus models. And that's $38,000. A Mercedes C-Class, which is their cheapest model, is $34,000. And a BMW 328, which is $35,000. So it's very interesting that, you know, they have all the money they want to spend on a car. And the richest, and I would say some of the smartest people, don't go out and flash and show off their bling in their car. What do you think about that? I always thought that some of the people ride in those expensive cars, you know, and they park them outside in pretty poor neighborhoods. That is like got to be the stupidest thing, to put all your money into a car and, you know, you live in a very poor life. But, you know, then the other day I was driving out to the Hamptons, very interesting, and in the lane next to us, there was a Maserati, a Ferrari, a Porsche, a Mercedes, and an Infiniti that passed us on the highway. So... you know what's going on out in the Hamptons. So that was a surprise, or was it a surprise? Are you surprised that the average rich American is driving? And notice that none of the top 10 cars are American cars.
Mm-hmm.
And even the top 20 cars, only Jeeps made it in the top 20 cars. Fords and Chevys and GMs aren't in the rich people's circle of cars.
Well, it's just a mode of transportation. It doesn't have to be a flashy thing. It gets you from A to B. Like, why would you waste your money on that?
Well, a lot of people think that having a flashy car says something about you, doesn't it? I mean, that's why they have expensive cars.
What about reliability?
Well, some people like to have, and there are rich people that drive flashy cars, you know.
Of course.
And it's just, but the average rich person doesn't need that flash. They got it elsewhere. How do you like that? They have those big bank accounts, right? It surprises you. Okay, so we're going to take a break for a minute, and then we'll be back, and we'll continue talking about more surprise financial facts.
I wish that I were twins, you great big babykins, so I could love you twice as much as I do. I'd have four loving arms to embrace you, four eyes to idolize you each time.
You're listening to I Wish I Were Twins by Plexophonic.
What couldn't four lips do? When four ears hear you say that I'm yours, da-da-dum. I wish that I were twins, you great big babykins, so I could love you twice as much as I do.
This program is sponsored by Tri-State Merchant Services. If you are a business owner, then you are processing credit or debit cards and checks. Providers for these services can be large, faceless companies who take your business for granted. But at Tri-State Merchant Services, your satisfaction is our priority, and we strive to earn your business every day. We offer more than just credit card processing. We provide valuable insight, solutions, and practical tools for streamlining your business. What's more, while we have the manpower of the leading processors, we never lose sight of the fact that every business starts small and that together we can do big things. At Tri-State Merchant Services, we believe in working with local businesses to strengthen our community. A strong community builds a strong economy. Check out our partner referral program and all of our services at tmsmerchant.com.
Okay, Flash Talks Cash. We're back. We're talking about a bunch of different financial topics. Today, we're talking about the Olympic medals and what cars the rich people drive. And now, I'm going to tell you, this is surprising to me. I had no idea about alternative currencies. They exist in the United States. Are you aware of alternative currencies going on?
Yeah, we talked about that once. Utah has one as well.
Utah?
I think so. You said something about Utah possibly.
Okay, so, well, first of all, it's absolutely legal to have an alternative currency in this country. You can make dollar bills, you can make bills, but you can't use coins, right? And there are a bunch of little towns throughout the United States that are doing it, such as Ithaca, New York. Ithaca has been around for 20 years, and they call their bills Ithaca hours because they base their bill on a $10 an hour wage. So if you work an hour, you get $10 of this Ithaca dollars. And it's been around. They use it to, let's see, they have 600 members presently and put about $100,000 worth of Ithaca hours into circulation. So it's been around and it's functioning. And the reason why some of these counties do this, or these little towns do this, is to keep the money flowing within their town, so it doesn't go out to the big box stores and outside their economy. It keeps their local economy growing. Toronto has the Toronto dollar. It's been since 1998, and it's on par with the Canadian dollar. And over 150 businesses accept this currency, again, to support the local economy and support their businesses.
So, I have a question: do you alter your prices, or do like say it's a $10 an hour job, but it's worth like $12 an hour? Like, why would you want to get paid in Ithaca dollars or Toronto dollars?
Well, they have the currency. They have the ability to pay you 12 Ithaca dollars or 12
Because I don't understand
dollars.
Why you want to do that. As
it's to keep the economy, keep the money local.
I'm sure you could exchange it for USD.
Yes, you can.
No, but it's...
They have the denominations of 1, 2s, 5s,
10s,
and 20s.
Yeah, I know, but what's the point?
Okay, so if you work in the hardware store and you get paid 100 Toronto dollars, you can then take your Toronto dollars and go to the bakery and pay your landlord.
You must get a discount of some sort. Like, what's the benefit of using a Toronto dollar instead of a Canadian dollar?
Well, one of the reasons is to keep the economy in local.
I understand that.
Okay.
So you must give
but
a
not
discount
for the user.
Of some sort. Yes. Well, the user has to have a discount, but it would enable a small business to then increase their, you'd have to decrease your price by 10% or something. Or else, what's the point of using a Toronto dollar compared to a Canadian dollar?
Because it's something that
there
you,
must be some sort of benefit to the
there,
user.
There are different
and the
benefits.
Benefit to the benefit to the seller Each, would be that there's someone coming in and guaranteed.
There are different benefits. I just want to explain to you. In Toronto, they have a charitable component. 10% of the Canadian dollars exchanged for the Toronto dollars is put aside into a community fund, which again gives money out to the community. There are other benefits too. I will tell you that. Let me finish the. The The Berkshires has one in Western Massachusetts, and it's only since 2006, and it's the largest local currency circulating in the world. 2 million Berkshires, they call them Berkshires, has been issued. And again, 1s, 5s, 10s, 20s, and 50s. 350 businesses accept the currency, and 5 different banks exchange the currency. And it now has checking accounts, ATMs. Oh, no, it's planning ATMs and loans and checking accounts. The reason...
That's a pain in the ass.
Well, the reason, the benefit receiving... First of all, here's your question. Here's your answer to your question. They receive 10% discount on the purchases.
Exactly.
Okay? Businesses benefit by increased patronage.
Of course.
And local nonprofit organizations benefit by purchasing the Berkshires at a 10% discount rate and selling them at full face value to the supporters. So it's taken all the different components, the things that you just mm-hmm. asked about, and it benefits each segment, and it is it's growing, and it's interesting. It's very interesting. When I think I told this to you, when I was in Occupy Wall Street, they talked about alternative currencies there.
Mm-hmm.
In Lawrence, Kansas, they began it in 2000, and they had the same thing, the $1, $3, and $10 bill with local Lawrence, Kansas celebrities, which some of them are William S. Burroughs, you heard of him,
mm-hmm.
and Langston Hughes. Their pictures were on the face of the currencies.
Awesome.
They don't do it anymore. They had a few problems, and some of the problems are, this is a big problem, modern businesses don't have much use for cash,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the ability to accept credit cards and debit cards yet.
Well, that's what you need to have ATMs or something so that you can...
So they have to tweak it a bit. They have to tweak it.
Well, the good thing is crime must be down, because you can't mug somebody for Berkshires and then try to go out and use them somewhere else, or else they'll catch you very quickly.
I guess the McDonald's in certain towns will accept the Berkshires.
Huh? Well, no, I'm just saying, like, even still, like, you can utilize it like local businesses, and then it increases their business by 10%, and they can offset that with the 10% discount. But, you know.
So, you know, I didn't even realize that this was going on. So it's an interesting concept. And, you know, they say there's a program going on in Staten Island. I get a lot of info. If you spend $50 in your local economy, it generates, and if everybody keeps $50 in their economy locally, you know, it just spills over into the economy and job growth.
It's a German model.
Yes, and it keeps growing and expanding. And it's all a very good thing, and the big box stores will not take over mm-hmm. all the local stores, which, you know, we all say we don't want the big box stores, but many of us shop in them, and we want to be loyal to the little guys, but it's more convenient to go to the big box stores.
It's cheaper
and convenient, and but it's not a good model. You know, everything is the same, whether you're in Minneapolis or you're in Memphis or you're in Montreal. Well, everything's the same. The CVS is the same, and the Macy's is the same.
Well, the products are the same.
It's all the same, and you don't get any variations.
Well, what do you need different?
Well,
it's about a product. You need a product. You need to go to a store and buy a box of cereal. Does it matter where the cereal is, where it is?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there are local companies that could make interesting new cereals, use local products.
That's why large conglomerates offer like local sections. Like Whole Foods is all about local sections.
Yeah, but a lot of stores don't have that.
I understand, but mm-hmm. that's what they do to offset that. Like, fine, but that local person can then start a stand or something.
The good thing is, if you have these alternative currencies, it forces you to stay in your local community and purchase your things from your small shops, your mom and pop shops. So it's a good thing. Just as, you know, having the farmers set up and selling your local produce, that's when it's there and it's convenient and it's in your face and it gets to be a habit, it's all a good thing. It's a good thing.
Sure.
Okay. We don't want Walmarts rolling through America. They've already taken over enough. Okay. So after that, I have another little segment. I wonder if you could talk about rich Americans. Do you want to know the most surprising professions, top 20 professions, no, 20 surprising professions that at least 10% of the top wage earners earn over $100,000? You'll be surprised.
Wait, you tell me which
surprising, professions? Surprising professions. We all know doctors and lawyers and certain people make over $100,000.
So the top.
This is a surprise. These are surprising professions that at least 10% of the top earners make over $100,000.
I'm guessing that they're all
like in
very risky. Because I feel like those.
That's why you're going to be surprised.
Joe, in New York City, a cop can make over $100,000 a year.
No, I'm not talking about New York City. I'm talking about
around. I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
we're talking about the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So they take across the country, 50 states, and they look at the professions, and the top 10% of these professions, these are surprises.
Furniture makers.
This one, makeup artists, theatrical and for theater and performance.
Well, that's because they're actually in high revenue areas normally. Because you're talking about like then they live in New York and LA where they make higher livings.
Well, makeup artists, there's a lot of starving makeup artists.
I'm certain there are, but there are very, it's, you're looking at a small pool where if you're a makeup artist and you're struggling, you don't put makeup artist on your tax return because you're not an actual makeup artist. You're something else.
I don't think so.
And you're waiting to become a makeup artist.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Gaming manager. This is a casino guy.
Okay. Very, yet again, very small. That's not surprising.
Oh, yeah? How about a home economics teacher, college level? That's surprising. Home economics. First of all, I didn't even know they taught that at college level. And they make over $100,000.
Don't most college professors make over $100,000?
I don't think so. This one didn't surprise me. Captains, mates, and pilots of water vessels. That didn't surprise me because they're pretty technical.
That's risky.
I don't know if that's risky.
I'm just saying.
You think so?
How
about art directors? I don't really know what an art director is. Does anybody really know what an art director does?
Yeah.
Well, it varies.
I think it depends on the field. But like, for instance, an art director in a film is the person who designs the scene and you know, all of the props and stuff like that.
An art director in an advertising company is a guy who does all the mock-ups and things like that. You know, it varies what an art director is.
But those professions don't pay high.
Why not?
Those ad agency, the average person in the ad agency.
But you're the director. You're like the over. You're like the management level there.
Broadcast news analysts.
Okay, you're on TV.
I'm surprised.
You're on TV.
Yeah, but you could be a, you know, there's only like, you know, a few major stations. There's thousands of TV shows that broadcast. They don't make a lot of money. Farmers, ranchers, and other agricultural managers. I'm happy to see that.
Well, that's like big high level people. I'm not talking about like podunk. You're talking about the top 10% of people who say,
correct,
I do this. You're talking about the top 10%.
Correct.
You're talking about one out of every 10 of people who say they do this. You know how many people actually say they do that? Probably not that many. So you're taking one out of 10.
Farming is very popular.
How many people do you think on their job description say, I'm a broadcast news analyst? How many people do you think say that's their job?
A newscaster. A newscaster.
How many people do you think say that's their job?
I haven't a clue.
So say it's 100 people.
Oh, it's way more than 100 people.
Say it's
thousands of channels in the country.
Fine. Thousands of channels. Say it's 1,000 channels. 100 of those 1,000 make over $100,000?
Yes.
That's not surprising. How much do you think Tom Brokaw makes a year? Does he even do the news anymore?
I don't know.
Well, he's a broadcast newser.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about Tom Brokaw. I'm talking about these...
And then I have a question what the word analyst means in there. Is it just someone who like comes on and does like a segment?
I don't know.
Is like someone on like...
You seem like, Andrew, like you're a pretty good analyst.
I'm a very good analyst.
I'm analyzing the news. This is kind of... You're a broadcast news analyst.
I am. But this isn't my job, and I would not put this on my tax return or say this is my job when I file my taxes.
Well, you don't make any money doing
this. That's the other thing.
How about...
Hence, I could not say this on my as my job description.
Can we just move on to a couple of more?
Sure.
Writers and authors. I was surprised about that. I was really surprised.
How many people say they're an actual writer as a profession?
A lot of people.
No, they don't.
I did a lot of tax returns, and there was a lot of people that called themselves writers.
There's a lot of books out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trying to write a book.
And there's also, you can see all those books they advertise on the subway, and then you know.
That guy probably makes, Joe? He probably makes a few $100,000 a year because they're putting enough money into advertising his book. You know what it probably costs to do that advertisement? Few $100,000.
Right.
So to pay someone like $30,000 and then advertise their book for a few $100,000 is not a good plan.
Model.
It's not a good, you don't do that. So you're sinking a lot of money into that kind of person in the first place. All of this is crap.
Can I finish?
You're giving me crappy statistics. This is a ridiculous argument. This is a ridiculous thing. How many more you got?
I skipped over it, but let me just say, here's one. This is for Ray Scrow. College level art, drama, and music teachers. He needs to get promoted to the college.
Well, I think about it this way. An adjunct professor, what do they put on as your job description? Your main job...
Professor.
Your main job is something else, and you're going in at night and doing this, or in your...
No, but a lot of professors don't make $100,000. A lot of professors don't make $100,000.
Okay.
You know, you have to have tenure and out of...
We're talking about 10% of professors.
I'm telling you, a lot of them don't. This one didn't surprise me. Loan officers. How about this one? Multimedia artists and animators. There's a lot of people that come out of art school to try to get these jobs, and they can't find good paying jobs because it's so badly, it's a bad industry.
It's not a bad industry. It's a very
low paying industry.
Niche industry. It's a unique niche industry where if you're on the higher level, yes, you won't make that much money.
I can't win. I'm not even going to keep going.
Do you have any more vignettes, or are we done? Because it's 5 o'clock.
Andrew's torturing
me. It's 5 o'clock. Give me more
usual.
Vignettes.
I'm glad to see you're in good form. Okay, we'll be back next week with I don't know what, but I'm going to try to make Andrew happy. That's my goal next week. All right, we'll see you then. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today.
Thanks.